Hi, this is Gene Nelson from KSFO. I thank you very kindly for being interested in this tape of my 30th anniversary program recorded live December 1st, 1992 in the Venetian Room of the Fairmont Hotel. The recording that you're going to hear is not what was heard on the air. You're going to hear what was recorded in the Venetian Room, which means where other people were hearing commercials, you're going to hear music and some other things that the listening audience didn't get a chance to hear. Thank you so much for being interested in the show. And here it is, my 30th anniversary broadcast.
560.
Drum roll.
Live from the Venetian Room in the Fairmont Hotel, it's Gene Nelson's 30th anniversary on Bay Area Radio. Brought to you by Northern California Toyota Dealers, West States Financial, Proctor's Jewelers, Circus Circus Hotel and Casino, President Tuxedo, and Lexus Dealer Groups. And now, here he is, the Emperor, Gene Nelson.
On the count of three, one, two, three, 30 years, which means you're older than dirt. This is a very significant day, and not only the 30 years, but for 20 of those years, I spent them on Knob Hill, 5 years originally over at the Mark, what we laughingly call the bottom of the Mark, where the kids used to line up at the parking lot, particularly for the Saturday show. You'd come out the door after you'd done your show, and kids would stand at the door with an autograph book and say, "Are you anyone?" And then I moved over here for 10 years with KSFO, which is now, what used to be the KSFO studios is now a health club. Is that a joke or what? All the degenerates that used to work down there. We had an announce booth, and there were telephone numbers all over the walls of the announce booth, and they used to say, "Call any number in here, and you either get a woman or a pizza," or sometimes both. And then when I got married, my wife and I lived down the street for a period of time up here. I fell in love in this very room. It was Tony Bennett, combination of Tony Bennett, low lights, low-cut black dress, as I recall. I do recall. Throwing things on the floor all night, trying to get her to bend over and pick them up, but she didn't bite. So thank you so much for being a part of the 30th anniversary. The most important part is you, because I've said, and I really mean it, without you, there's no me. So welcome. You're going to meet some members of the staff here, people that I work with, people I have worked with, people I've known throughout the years, my family, going to introduce you to my family, and some people that make San Francisco special. There's going to be everybody from priests to saloon keepers here this morning, and you meet them all. Thank you very much for being here. Now, there are some unusual things about the show, but then you've always got the basic things that a morning man does. You got your weather, you got your time checks, you got your traffic. There's no change in the weather. Anybody see any change in the weather on the way in this morning? No. All right, so there's no change in the weather. Temperature's in the 40s. That takes care of that. I got my handy-dandy big-time disc jockey clock here. It says it's 10 minutes past 6 o'clock on KSFO 560, and we're going to have the only traffic reports this morning, the only traffic reports in the entire world that have a live, well, semi-live band to introduce him, Dick Bright and his band.
Good morning, Gene. Good morning.
Good morning. If you're ready, let's do a traffic report.
Oh, traffic.
Are you prepared? That was a cue, Dick. That was a cue. See, the live band. The 616 KSFO 560. I want you to meet some of the people that I work with. You've heard their voices. Well, you haven't heard all their voices. Some of them you don't get to hear on the radio because they work in the background. But one voice that you've heard, I'm celebrating 30 years. He's celebrating 22 years in San Francisco radio, and we've spent them all together. Dave Henderson.
Thank you, Gene Nelson.
You want to come up, Dave?
Sure.
Can we come on up here where there's light? There he is. Yeah, yeah.
Pull up a chair.
Now then, when I've said that he's a degenerate old sot, did I lie?
No. Thank you for inviting me up here.
Thank you. What's the date of your anniversary?
June of 1970.
June of 1970. So we missed your party.
Yes.
Well, we'll double down today, that's all.
The Speedo I have over there, it'll be on later this morning.
Or half off later. Or
half off this morning. What can I say? We've been together for a long time. I played a lot of tennis. You beat me a lot. We haven't played golf yet.
Not yet.
Oh, okay. That's coming up.
I keep waiting. Yeah.
But I remember all the good times, the Shasta remotes, where you gave me the top bunk. I about killed myself when I rolled out of it in the middle of the night. And somebody was playing Bolero, as I recall.
Ah, that's true. Yeah. Yes. Remember the late Warren Bogus, who was our traffic reporter for many years. He was playing Bolero to try to get people in a romantic mood on a houseboat, but
I slept right through it.
Yeah, I didn't recall. Right.
Well, it's been such a pleasure working with you for so many years, and I just want to say thanks for all the fun.
Well, thank you. Thank you, David. Good morning and welcome. A couple of things I found out today. First of all, it's kind of embarrassing. When Dick Bryce sat down, he said, any songs that have really been associated with you over the years because we'd like to play them? And I said, well, there's Hi-Ho, Hi-Ho, and Dead Skunk in the Middle of the Road. Take This Job and Shove It. He looked a little bewildered, but you're doing well. You're doing well.
Thank you. Thank you.
That's embarrassing. A big-time musician has to play this kind of stuff. I've often wondered, I've come to the Venetian Room so many times, and whenever they introduce the big stars to come out here on the stage, you know, Tony Bennett and all these guys, I wondered what goes on back there and where they come from. You know what's back there? There's a kitchen back there, which I'm not really familiar with. We had our slip covered in our house. We actually had a decorator. That's not my joke. We had a decorator that said that. She looked in our kitchen and said, as little as you cook in this house, why don't you just slip cover the kitchen? Opium. I wish my grandfather were alive to see this. My grandfather, Wilson, was a farmer, and the greatest love that a farmer can have for anyone is to give you his land, and he wanted to give me his farm and have me be a farmer in North Dakota. And we sat down and we talked about it, and I said, Grandpa, I can't do that. And he said, why not? And I said, well, among other things, I just can't get up that early in the morning. And wherever he is, he finds this very amusing, I know, and I brought all these cuckoo people with me. I'm going to introduce you to members of my family. We did some tape recordings over the last couple of weeks and some messages from them, beginning with my parents. It was kind enough to management. Management was going to surprise me and bring my parents out here, which would have been a real thrill this morning. But applaud my parents while I get myself together, if you would. They couldn't make it, but they were thrilled to be invited, at any rate. My parents are 82 years old, been retired for 20 years, born and raised in North Dakota, took me all over the country. I was born in St. Paul. We lived in Illinois. We went farming in North Dakota for 3 years, seemed longer, and then Ohio and New Jersey, and then I joined the Navy, and I said I was the only guy in the Navy that moved less after I joined the Navy than I had before. I really saw the world. And then after I left the family, they moved to Texas for a period of time, which is where my parents have been until the last couple of years. They moved back to a town where they had worked when they retired. It's a little town called Lynchburg, Virginia, which is just a delight. My father's name is Nels. My mother's name is Jeanette, or they call her Jessie. So Nels and Jessie and their message.
Gene, you were taught in college, in high school. You were on the dean's list all through college, and you made it on your own. We couldn't help you. And when we could help you, you didn't need any help. And do you remember on North Dakota when you used to pick potatoes, and you put one you'd put one in the basket, and you'd look up, and you'd say, there's got to be a better way to make a living. Here's Bob.
You came home from school one night all out of breath. You've been to the radio station, and a lit you talk on the, over the air, and you wanted to know if we had heard you, but we hadn't. You used to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning to deliver the newspapers. And they were in the winter. And when you came to collect the pay for them, they wouldn't answer the phone. The door.
Here I go. You remember when we used to go to the Yankee ball games? I'd come home from the office and pick you up at school, and we'd go to the Yankee baseball park, and you knew all the players, and you even had the batting average. And we love your wife. You've got a beautiful wife, Carol. We love you, too. That's about it.
We love you both.
Now let that be a lesson to you boys and girls listening at home. No matter how old you get, your parents never forget what your grades were, you know, good or bad. I want to introduce you now to my sister, Catherine. She is my older sister, not my old sister, but my older sister. When my family went to Texas, the strange thing was I went off into the Navy, and then by the time I came back and got together with my family, they'd been in Texas so long I couldn't understand what the hell they were talking about, because they... So when you hear my sister, you won't know that well. You will know we're related before she's done with the conversation. She lives in Houston. She's a nurse, married to a surgeon. And when my wife Carol had called her and talked about doing a message, she said, "Well, I don't know. What if I puddle up on the air?" And Carol said, "Oh, what the heck? Gene does that all the time." And so Katie said, "Well, then everybody'll know we're related, won't they?" So. You'll know where I come by it honestly, the puddling. My sister and I can just, we sit around and we cry at stains in the sink. It's that kind of thing. So from Houston, Texas, her name is Catherine. I call her Katie. I'd like you to meet my sister.
My name is Katie, and I'm Gene's older sister. First of all, I want to congratulate Gene for 30 years of giving people a respite from everyday life through his radio program. I feel Gene is truly a Renaissance man because of his varied interests and his involvement over the years and his expertise really in numerous areas. I was Gene's bossy older sister and I really irritated him many, many times. But he grew up to be a great guy in spite of me. Family and tradition have always been important to Gene and me. And one event really stands out regarding Gene and me. About 40 years ago, our family was transferred to another state with my father's company. It was the first time we'd all been separated. I stayed behind in nursing school, and Gene had joined the Navy. And I was to report, and he was to report to his base. He came to see me at my dormitory to say goodbye. And I think that was when I finally realized how much he meant to me. Gene has always been there for me in the sad times and the happy times. I have to add that his wife, Carol, has been a large plus in his life. I love you, Gene.
Enjoy all the accolades. You deserve them. Ain't she a kick? Then there's my other sister, Arlene, who is my younger sister, the youngest in the family. Arlene, who we still call Bean, much to her embarrassment, but when she was a nipper, she couldn't say Arlene. She said Bean. She hates it when I call her Bean, but she's Bean to me. She lives in Dallas, Texas, and she'll tell another side of me. Here's my sister, Arlene.
Hi, this is Gene's sister, Arlene, in Dallas, Texas. Happy anniversary, Gene. You've come a long way since we were kids in Zanesville. Remember the time you called me into helping you run your paper route? And I got stuck delivering to all the people on the third and fourth floor. How about the time you locked me and Jeannie Hartledge in the attic for 2 hours? Boy, was Mother mad at you. I guess the best story is when my milkman found out you're my brother. He told everyone in town he was delivering milk to Jean Nelson's sister. I got the best service in town. I'm really proud of you, Jean. I know your fans are looking forward to all the anniversaries yet to come. Have a good time.
Lock them in the attic for a couple of hours, they never forget, right? My stepdaughter Jennifer is here, much to my surprise today. I wonder if she would stand up, first of all, and be introduced. Thank you for being here. The next message is from her. I didn't know she was going to be here. She could have done this live, or maybe she wouldn't have done this live, but Jennifer Sciutto, she's living in Los Angeles these days, Manhattan Beach, working in the insurance industry, and I'm so happy she could make it today, but she recorded this message for me a short time ago. Here's Jennifer.
Hi, Jean. This is Jenny Sciutto, your stepdaughter. Greetings from beautiful Los Angeles, and I think part of the reason that I'm down here is partly your fault, actually, because I was shuffling through some cards to spark a memory and realize that you've been sending me these subliminal messages about keeping a job. And part of that is because on one of my cards for my last finals from college, you and Mom sent me a card congratulating me, and your little portion says, "Does this mean you're going to get a job and support?" Oh, hello. So that was a little message, and then the next card was when I graduated from college, and Mom says, "What you have achieved is of eternal value and will affect your entire life, very profound." And then you put, "Congrats. Now get out there and support us." So I had to take this job when they transferred me down here. So, you know, it's kind of your fault that I'm down in Smogland, but that's okay. But I think it's a good thing that I moved to Manhattan Beach because my reputation was kind of jaded, and because no mother in their right mind was going to let me date their son after all of my glowing report cards from Mr. Clean on my neatness and my creative decorating of my room. And I finally have a chance now to rectify the situation, and you'll be happy to know that I can actually see the floor of my closet. So, you know, I've come a long way here. Seriously, though, I'd like to commend you on your fantastic accomplishment. 30 years is such an incredibly long time, 5 years longer than I've been alive. And you have such a phenomenal way of bringing people out, especially children, and I have to mention animals, out of their shell, which really attributes to your success. And I think along with your perverse sense of humor that you've really done a great thing. And on a serious note, I'd like to thank you for helping the little missus since Doug died, because I don't think that people seem to realize that stepfathers and stepuncles and other steps hurt just as much as their biological counterparts. And I think a lot of people are asking you all the time how Mom was, but I don't think a lot of people are asking how you are, and I know you are hurting a lot too. And I think you really showed incredible strength. And you really helped us to find some laughter in a real horrible time, and I thank you for that. And on a brighter note, I'd like to send you my congratulations and my love on this wonderful day, and it's a great tribute to you, to your hard work and your dedication, and the impact that you've made on people is really infinite, and I can only hope to make a portion of that impact in my lifetime. You done good, kid. Congrats.
Thank you, Jenny. I'm going to do one more in the family segment this time around, and then my family is so large, the extended family, we're going to carry the family over to next hour, too. If there are some members of the family that are getting nervous, we'll do it next hour. But the final conversation this hour is my son, Christopher Todd, who's 29 years old. How many people remember when he was born? Mail has been fantastic, and all the memories of Chris and the fan club that we had for him, and Candy sitting over here has a complete diary of all the funny things that Chris said from what I told on the radio, and thank you for sharing some of those. He always wanted to be a garbage man. He didn't quite make it. He is he's living out his dream at the present time, though. He moved to Maui recently, where he is surfing and lying on the beach. I've been working for 35 years to get to Hawaii and lie on the beach. The kid made it to 29, so... Here's my son, Christopher.
Hey, Dad, it's your son, Chris, calling from Maui. Happy anniversary. Things are a little different here back in San Francisco. I'd say, gee, it sure is windy today. And you'd say, yeah, it sure is. But here you say, windy today, yeah? And the other guy goes, yeah. That's kind of how you communicate over here. Anyway, I got some really fond memories of the show. I'll never forget the time when I was 6 years old and he took me to work. And just before a song ended, he handed me a commercial and said, son, you think you can read this for me into the other little microphone there? And I said, well, sure, Dad. But in my mind, I was thinking, boy, I sure hope he doesn't get in trouble for this, because even then I knew that a first-grade education wasn't quite the qualifications expected when your sponsor bought airtime. Okay, it's real important to realize here that my grading reading accomplishment to this date was the complex novel Go, Dog, Go. So I start reading it, and I came to this huge word, and I was really overwhelmed. But I remember my first grade teacher telling me, don't be afraid of big words. They're just a bunch of little words combined. So I sounded it out, International Airlines. And I was pretty proud of that at first grade. That was quite a feat. And then my first grade teacher called up. I think she was crying, saying it was the proudest moment of her teaching career and everything. So that was a big moment. And the time you took me and 200 listeners to see the Niners play in the first Super Bowl, and we stayed in Toledo, Ohio, which wasn't maybe the nicest place we'd ever stayed in vacation. And then I don't think I've ever laughed harder in my life than the two-hour drive from Toledo to Detroit. And your running commentary and description of the surrounding countryside and what life must be like living there just had me and the whole bus. Just the funniest thing I'd ever heard. And I want to finish up by saying I have an idea of why you're so good at what you do. I thought about this, and there's some insight that your listeners might not be aware of. I've known you my whole life, and most of the time we spent together, all the time actually, except for a couple times, have been when you're off the air. And you've always had the same personality and great sense of humor in your everyday life that you have on the air. And I think that's the secret to your success. When you show up for work, you don't have to gear up and get into a mode or get into character like an actor would. You just show up, be yourself, and the rest is history. And I think that's why you've done as well as you have. And I'm real proud of you.
KSFO 560, and that's the family segment part one, and you'll meet some other members of the family, including Little Misses, will be coming up next hour. It's 6:57 on KSFO 560, Gene Nelson 30th anniversary show. We're going to take a break and go back for news, and we'll continue with all of this. The Peninsula Times Trib, just really nice things. If I was going to write a column about myself, that's what I would have written, I'll tell you. And I just found out, and I mentioned earlier in the program, we're taping this entire show, and so it's the first chance for my parents in ever so long. I don't know that they've ever heard my full show, or if they would listen to my full show, even if they lived here. But they're in Lynchburg, Virginia, and they're going to get this is going to be their Christmas gift, so I hope they enjoy this. And they're from North Dakota, and I've often said about North Dakota, I spent 3 years in North Dakota, I spent 4 years in the Navy, 7 years, and it's given me 35 years of material. So I'm grateful that they sent me there. And I just found out that one member of Dick Bright's friends is from North Dakota. You want to do... Huh? Your mom?
Tommy's mom is from North Dakota. Tommy, come on up here. This is Tommy Dunbar.
This is Tommy?
The great Tommy Dunbar.
Sit down there. I'd never heard this in my whole life. Would you do that little song about North Dakota? Would you do that for my folks?
Oh, God, it's so embarrassing.
Well, I know it is, but so is North Dakota.
Let's see. The state of North Dakota is kind of smooth and flat, but the state of North Dakota didn't always look like that. There used to be a lot of trees growing all around, till Paul Bunyan took his crew of men and chopped the trees all down. All the chop, 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 chop filled the air, chop, 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 chop everywhere. Everybody did his share. Log in North Dakota, log in North Dakota.
Thank you. That's beautiful.
Gene? You know, I'm going to have to pay him more now. Thanks a lot.
Well, he deserves it. 7-Eleven KSFO 560. SFO 560. Hi! You realize the people listening at home think you're applauding commercials. You know that, don't you? Dick Bright and friends.
Gene Lynn Nelson. Ray singing for you.
716 on KSFO 560. All right, let me introduce you to some more people that are really big in my life. The Little Misses. You have no idea the amount of heat I've taken from feminists about that. The hell with them. It's my wife. I'll call her what I like. It's her fault she started calling me the little hub. She was going to do her message live, and but she decided to record it just to be sure, and I have no idea what she said, which may be why she recorded it, but if you would, my wife, Carol, with an E.
Hi, Gene. It's the Little Misses. 30 years. Well, obviously, after looking at all the wonderful letters and hearing all the wonderful memories, it's pretty obvious I'm a relative newcomer to your fan club. I've only known you for 12 of those 30 years. But I wish I had a dollar for every time a person came up to me and said, "Ah, you must be Bubbles." As you know, I wasn't a listener when we met, and I cringe when I think that my very first words to you were actually, Oh, I never listened to your show. Duh. And you still asked me out. I started listening to you during that first week before our date, and I honestly couldn't imagine that anyone who sounded that bright and that funny and that warm could possibly be real. But I quickly found out that the Gene Nelson you get on the radio is the Gene Nelson you get. Your sense of humor has obviously served you well throughout your whole life, and it's a wonderful gift to our marriage. There are so many small things in life that can become big things, and big things that can become intolerable if we let them. But you have that remarkable ability to find humor in just about everything, and it really diffuses issues and keeps things in perspective. You make me laugh in difficult situations, and more importantly, you get me to laugh at myself, which wasn't always easy for me. There are so many examples I could share with you, but one that really stands out and typifies what I'm talking about happened on Christmas Day in 1990, which was just a few months after Doug's death. Our whole family was in such a fog. In fact, my sister had given each of us a bell to wear around our neck so we could keep track of one another and not lose anyone. It was that bad. On Christmas Day, we decided to do something that was completely different for our family, so instead of having the traditional turkey dinner, we opted to have a big crab feed. Well, we were all sitting around the table, literally in a daze, as you can imagine, and my sister Gail then gave us these huge paper bibs to wear around our neck, kind of like a lobster bib. We were all fumbling around and trying to get these bibs on when you said, "Dear Miss Manners, as a grieving family, is it proper for us to wear our bells on the inside of our bibs or on the outside?" Well, we all just roared, and it was just one of the many times that you've helped us to laugh through our tears. I just adore you, Gene Nelson, and I congratulate you on this outstanding 30-year achievement. And by the way, you can sure add my name to that huge list of people who hope you'll hang in there for 30 more years. Not...
Carol, where are you? Would you come down? Would you come down where there's light, where people can see you? Come down here where there's light. This is my wife and best friend, Carol.
Thank you. You know how much I hate this. Actually, in my next life, I want to be just like Lynn. We have an agreement in our house that Gene doesn't do barbecue, and I don't do radio. So that's it. Thank you for being
Thank
here.
You.
Sound is familiar to you, and if the sound is familiar, the person will also be familiar. You want to play that jingle?
The sound of the city, the sounds that are heard in San Francisco are mixed with daylight's glimmering rays and moonbeams shimmering glow. When darkness settles on the city, homeward people on their way, chimes ringing softly in the stillness, fog creeping slowly across the bay. Hear the sound of the city, the sounds that are heard in San Francisco on KSFO, KSFO, San Francisco.
That That was our signature when KSFO was in the Fairmont Hotel, and in those days we were playing that jingle. One of the guys who was just a real legend in San Francisco, great newsman, and a man who is truly a gentle man, Aaron Edwards.
Marvelous reception. Thank you.
And thank
first
you.
First off, congratulations on achieving 30 years. I wish you another, your wife said not, but I'll wish you another 20.
Well, thank you. 30 years seems like nothing. How long for you?
Well, all told, radio and television, 47.
Oh, my God.
26 of them with KSFO, by the way.
Oh, that's tremendous.
In this building, and it felt wonderful walking in here.
Isn't this like old home week?
Oh, yeah. You look great. You look great.
Well, so do you. When people start saying you look great, you know, you're getting to that point where it's, my God, he's still standing.
I just want to know if sitting this close to the band, you felt it was a little bit loud.
A little bit loud for the band? No, my hearing is completely gone.
Well,
after 35 years of rock and roll, I'll do that.
I'm new at this, but I shut off this hearing aid, and I still heard them. They were loud. I've got to tell you this. In all the years that I've known you, you haven't faded one ounce. You're as sharp and as crisp and as warm as you've ever been.
Well, bless your heart. Thank you.
I hope you continue.
And you obviously are as kind as you've ever been. I appreciate that.
Well, I thank you, Gene Allen.
Aaron Edwards, thanks for being here. It's 728 KSFO 560, and our anniversary show continues right after these messages. A couple of old-time friends and people that have meant a lot in my career. Dave, do you want to introduce your first guest? Oh, he's already taken your microphone. So
two KSFO legends, Russ the Muse Syracuse and Dan Sorkin. Thank you, Dave. I was going to dunk this. I thought it was a donut. I didn't know it was a microphone. Anyway, in case you're wondering, I'm Russ Syracuse. This is Dan Sorkin. I was the guy responsible for bringing Gene Nelson out to the Bay Area in 1962.
That's right.
And I thought, Gene, since this is your 30th anniversary, and not to get all these folks up 30 years from now all over again, why don't we just celebrate the 60th at the same time? Here's Dan Sorkin.
Gene, this is your life. In the audience is a voice that you haven't heard for 47 years. That voice belongs to your high school teacher, Wanda Landowska, who, as you probably will remember with some embarrassment, what you did in her class and the fact that there were no sexual harassment laws on the books at that time. Wanda and her child, Beverly, have agreed to take your name after all these years. And we'd like to wish you once again a happy 30th anniversary from Wanda and Beverly and the entire clan now living in South Dakota.
Thank you. Thank you, Russ. Russ Syracuse, who I have known since I started in radio in Syracuse. We've been together ever since, a dear friend. And Dan Sorkin, you probably, I don't know if I ever told you this, but people say, anyone who was a role model to you. When I was breaking into radio, I used to go home at night after I got off the air at 2 o'clock in the morning, and I would listen to Dan Sorkin out of Chicago, and I thought he had the greatest comic timing of any radio man I've ever heard, and that continues today, Dan. Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you for being here. 740 KSFO 560, a little drum beat for the traffic is what we're going to do. Brought to you by President Tuxedo. And here's Joe McConnell.
Get that rhythm going. All right, we've got a new trouble spot for you.
Now, we're going to introduce a very important person. I don't usually ask for any kind of response in advance, but this is really important because this is the big guy you're going to meet. I want some heavy sucking up. I want standing ovations, screams, shouts, whistles. It means job security to me. I would like you to meet the owner of KSFO Radio, Ron Unkifer.
You're the man.
Ovation.
Well, Gene, I can see we're going to come down here every week. This is great. I have two things for you this morning. One is a very special award, and then also a special announcement for the audience. The first award, I'd like to read. This is radio, so we were able to use these old boxer shorts
okay.
to cover this thing up. Thank you for 30 years of dedication from the staff of KSFO and KYA Radio and your listeners. Gene Nelson, November 1, 1992. This is one of the original microphones from the KSFO.
It is indeed. So that's the microphone we used at KSFO. Yeah. Oh, wow. That. My. Man, that's beautiful. Isn't that special? That's. Thank you.
And the other announcement is that, you know, apparently the country wasn't ready for four more years of George Bush, but the San Francisco Bay Area needs four more years of the emperor, so we're proud to announce that Gene and I have signed a contract for the next 4 years.
Wow.
I know everybody just tell you, when we signed this contract, we went through negotiations for a while. Lean is Gene's agent. You know, he handles the poor baseball players who are walking around saying, God, can I get Gene's deal? But, so we went through about 2 months of negotiations, and we finally made the deal, and we had the ceremonial signing at noon. So I got my banker's suit on and my official tie, and I'm looking forward maybe a power lunch at Ernie's or maybe Mason's here.
Yes, yeah, yeah, Masons. Yes.
They work at Masons at the
Fairmont. We're trying to pay for our dinner last night, is what. It's called blatant plugola. He catches on quickly.
So we meet back at the station at noon, and I look at it and I walk in for this very important ceremonial signing with Gene, and Gene is there, but he's wearing his tennis shoes, his baseball cap, and a Bert and Ernie T-shirt. So, that's why we love this guy, Gene. It's a pleasure to work with you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Was it really? 1979. I used to come to work in the Fairmont, and the first thing that I did every morning, I'd go through the records and try to find kooky stuff, you know? And that's where I found things like Send Me to Heaven in a Glad Bag. That was a biggie. And Yup, 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 I'm a Yuppie. I'm happy to say I was the first to introduce these records. She Got the Gold Mine, I Got the Shaft, Dead Skunk in the Middle of the Road. That's where I found these records. And Christmas time, 1979, I found this record called Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer. And I played it on the radio. I got off the air, and the general manager that I had at that time said, don't you ever play that record again. I mean, my God, there's Grandma getting killed and Granny, blah, blah, blah. Well, we got so much response, so we started getting phone calls from listeners saying, oh, it's really great. And then we started getting calls from the media. And so then my boss was doing all these interviews saying, well, you know, we're the kind of radio station where we allow our guys a lot of creative freedom, which is why we get to do what. And that's how Grandma was born. It's now sold over 3 million records. And I would like you to meet the weirdo responsible, ladies and gentlemen, Elmo!
Thank you. Thank you. Grandma got run over by a reindeer, walking home from our house Christmas Eve. You can say there's no such thing as Santa, but as for me and Grandpa, we believe. Thank you. I'd like to thank Gene now for letting me debut the rest of the story. Doubt you can remember Grandma's passing, that tragic, mournful tale so often sung. The prime suspect was one of Santa's reindeer in the world's most famous case of hit and run. One day while grieving grandpa watched the TV, he heard some advertising lawyers swear they'd win a multi-million dollar settlement and make his loss much easier to bear. Grandpa's gonna sue the pants off of Santa. That's what Grandpa's gonna do. Grandpa's gonna sue the pants off of Santa. If Grandma would have wanted him to. Grandpa's gonna sue the pants off of Santa. He knows the law is on his side. Grandpa's gonna sue the pants off. Yesterday the judge arraigned the reindeer. Rudolph was the first to take the stand. They asked him for the truth about old Santa. Rudy said he's just a fat and jolly man. Now Santa is before the prosecution. He looks a little thinner on the stand. And if they take away his flying license, well, there won't be any Christmas in the land. Grandpa's gonna sue the pants off of Santa. That's what Grandpa's gonna do. Grandpa's gonna sue the pants off of Santa, 'cause Grandma would have wanted him to. Grandpa's gonna sue the pants off of Santa. He knows the law is on his side. Grandpa's gonna sue the pants off of Santa. Santa's going for a ride. Now Santa and the reindeer wait the verdict, delivered by a jury of their peers. Six fat men with long and flowing whiskers and half a dozen poker-faced reindeer. Now Grandpa gets a TV for his suffering and Santa is declaring bankruptcy. But listen closely and you'll hear the lawyers singing jingle bells as they collect their fees. Grandpa's gonna do the pants off of Santa. That's what Grandpa's gonna do. Gonna sew the pants off of Santa, 'cause Grandma would have wanted him to. Grandpa's gonna sew the pants off of Santa, then the law is on his side. Grandpa's gonna sew the pants off of Santa. Santa's going for a ride, and Grandpa's right by his side, 'cause the lawyer's looking for a ride.
Thank you, Elmo. I might also mention he has another new song in his brand new album, especially for disc jockeys. There's a song in there called Please Don't Make Me Play Grandma Again. That's